A new Star Wars journey begins in the place all good journeys begin. At, well, the beginning. This Star Wars Day, I'm excited to introduce the new Star Wars Canon Timeline podcast, where we will piece together the complete story of that galaxy far, far away, in timeline order, from the dawn of the Jedi through the great unknown following the sequel trilogy. This is a podcast for both Star Wars superfans and complete newbies. Listen to the short intro episode now to hear how it works and what to expect over the coming weeks as we set the stage for the new television series The Acolyte, which we will be covering with weekly breakdowns. Subscribe to the Star Wars Canon Timeline podcast wherever you listen to take part in one of the most epic and expansive stories ever told, following all the twists and turns from start to finish. May the Fourth be with you all month and beyond. Hello, Woolshift Dust fam. Apologies for the long silence. For those of you who do not follow me on social media or haven't reached out via email, you deserve an update on what has been going on my end and the plans for this podcast this spring. Basically, I've had a rather rough start to the year, most recently with a broken leg and that nasty neurovirus that's been going around. But the injury most directly related to my ability to produce this podcast is the oral, as in ear, injuries I sustained on a flight in December. Essentially, both of my eardrums burst, severely affecting my hearing for a time and making audio editing almost impossible. Just a few notes on this, by the way. So first of all, thank you to those of you who reached out to check in and express your support. You don't know how deeply I appreciate that. And just for anyone who's nervous about flying, I want to assure you that I have taken hundreds of flights in my life, and this is the first time anything like this has happened to me. It's directly related to some ongoing complications I have had from my experiences with long COVID. However, I've been grateful to be able to speak to a number of people who have also experienced this, which has helped me set my expectations for a slow, gradual healing process, but one that will most likely end with a full recovery. And of course, I have my doctor monitoring the situation and regular checkups too. In case anyone else finds themselves in a similar situation, experiencing unbearable pain in their ears during landing, I want to share this tip that listener Rick M. shared with me, just in case it ever helps anyone else in the future. He says, "Regarding your airplane-related hearing loss, I can definitely relate. I will never forget a flight I was on overseas where I had some kind of ear infection, and as we were making our slow descent, I felt the absolute worst ear pain I've ever experienced because of increasing air pressure. It was so bad, my wife called the flight attendant over to help me, and she did something really interesting. She brought over two plastic drink cups, and she placed a hot washcloth into each cup and told me to hold it over my ears as we descended. It sounded weird, and I'm sure I looked ridiculous, but somehow the hot air in the cups helped control the pain. And fortunately, I didn't suffer any hearing loss." So yeah, I'm definitely going to be remembering that tip in the future. Thank you, Rick. Anyway, it's time to retrain my ears to process sounds normally, which it's an odd, uncomfortable process, and I don't have my full range and miss especially quieter midtones, but getting back in the audio editing chair is definitely helping that along. So obviously, first and foremost, I owe you all the wrap-up to season one of Beacon 23, which was recorded in December before my injuries and will be the next thing released in this feed. And then the Promised Dune series, beginning with a book and working through the adaptations as planned. I just saw part two today, and I'm really glad I've watched this before doing this series now. I think it will change how I look at the prior adaptations, especially part one, and maybe even the books a little. So I'm excited to get into that and make sure you're getting the most out of the new film, and you go into part three an expert and are fully prepped for the new series Dune Prophecy, expected to release on HBO this summer. In the meantime, I hope you'll enjoy the Oscars prep series we're currently releasing in the Lorehounds feed in advance of the Oscars ceremony this Sunday, March 10th. Much thanks to David for doing the editing on that. Basically, this series is a chance for me to let my inner film fiend loose as we break down everything you need to know for the Oscars in three parts. So stay tuned here to this episode for a 15-minute teaser David and I put together to preview what to expect from the series. And this is, of course, also an excellent time to catch up on older episodes in this feed, including my Halloween coverage of Mike Flanagan's The Fall of the House of Usher on Netflix. Friend of the pod, Stu, caught up on this series recently, and this is what he had to say. "Hi, Alicia. Watched the final episode of The Fall of the House of Usher last night. Phew, what a great little miniseries. Wonderful to see some modern gothic horror given the treatment it deserves. Great performances all around, especially the kids. So brilliantly awful that even though they meet grisly ends, you still have a little spark of sympathy for them, especially when you realize the truly awful deal that Daddy Usher made. Gory, but not overly so, and the way the words and stories of Poe were seamlessly weaved into the narrative was effortless. Always nice to see little Easter eggs along the way as well. I've always been a horror buff, but nothing for a long time has held my attention like this show did, and I'm looking forward to seeing what Mike Flanagan has up its sleeve next. So, yeah, I also really love this series. You can hear all about it if you scroll back to Halloween and learn all about the Poe Easter eggs buried in it. But for now, that's enough explanation and preamble, I think. Did somebody say awards season? Please enjoy the preview episode here, and then you will find the rest of the series on the Lorehounds feed. Episode 1 has already been released, and episode 2 will be released in the morning.
Hey there, David here.
And Alicia.
You've probably noticed that this episode has a really short runtime. Well, short for us anyway.
That's because it's just a teaser.
The Oscars are coming up and we're going to be releasing a 3-part prep series to help you get ready without spoiling any of the movies.
So we're just popping up here quickly to give you a heads up on what to expect from that.
The Oscars are coming up March 10th at 7 p.m. Eastern, I'm guessing, or is that going to be Pacific?
Eastern, yeah.
Sorry. Eastern, okay. Broadcast by ABC in the United States and other channels around the world. But if you go to the Oscars.org website, you should be able to, you know, figure out where to watch them. So what do we need to know about this 3-part series that you've cooked up for us?
The idea behind the entire series is that we're going to help you figure out what are the most interesting movies that you can watch at home to prep if whatever your level of interest, and maybe that's the most nominated ones. We'll break that down for you, or just whatever sounds like the most fun for you. We're going to tell you all of the behind the scenes stuff to get in on the water cooler conversations for award season and to make a respectable showing in any Oscar pools.
if you go in for that kind of thing, yeah. You're part of this group called the Association of
Academy of Death Racers.
That's what it is. Yeah. What is that about?
So death racers are people who watch all of the movies every Oscar season. So, so that's 53 movies this year. And yes, okay. I've watched them all.
Wow.
In fact, yeah, a bunch of us go even further. And like, I've watched also all of the BAFTA nominated movies, all of the Spirits nominated movies.
Goodness. Where do folks find the Death Racer website?
There's two different websites. If you yourself want to track your Oscar watching progress, then you can find, there's two websites. There's the Oscars Death Race website, which I know was your preferred one, right, David?
I think it was just to share it with somebody
simpler.
Else. Was it really simple to see what was going on?
Simple visual interface. And if you want all the statistics and are going above and beyond, then there's deathracetracking.com.
Okay.
But if you want to just know more about the Academy of Death Racers, that's AODR.net. And there's also a very active subreddit, active, especially this time of year, and a Discord. So.
Okay, cool. Maybe you can forward me those links and I'll put them in the show notes if people want to follow up on those.
Okay, great. Yeah.
Cool. All right. So part one, the Headliner Awards. Talk to me about what our first podcast is going to cover and how we're going to work through all of this. You know, it's a lot of movies.
So. 53.
Yeah.
So we're going to start with, of course, the Best Picture 10, because these are the movies that are nominated for most of the awards.
Okay.
So we're just going to lay the groundwork. We're going to talk about them in the order of the number of nominations that they have.
Got it.
And then we're also going to touch on in that episode the other, you know, so-called above the line categories like directing, acting, and writing.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll make sure that you're up on the favorites to win and, you know, what the category controversies are in the most popular awards.
Cool. And then to make it a little bit more interesting, since I personally have not seen all of the above the line nominations, we have decided to chat with a few people from the community and some other folks that we know to share some voices and thoughts from the wider community. I know that your father is going to be talking about Killers of the Flower Moon. That's very cool. You want to set that up a little bit?
So I've already recorded an interview with my father about he lives in Oklahoma and, you know, his grandfather, my great grandfather was part of, you know, he got one of these oil allotments.
Okay.
And my father's very into the history. He's read the book multiple times. He's watched the movie now multiple times. And he had a lot to say. He actually prefers the book to, the movie to the book.
Wow, that's really interesting. Very cool. Well, that'll be a cool interview. And I know we're going to talk to Marilyn about Barbie because she was an OG collector of the Barbies way back when. So I'm sure she's got
Can't wait to hear what she thinks of the movie.
Absolutely. And then we've got a few other community members that we've reached out to on our Discord. Folks who have expressed opinions or thoughts about movies, where they've really shared something that was important to them or they had a really cool insight. So, really excited to hear some more voices from the wider Lorehounds listening community. Okay, so part two. The hidden gems. What's this podcast going to be about?
So these are kind of my favorite categories every year because these are the movies that I probably wouldn't otherwise watch. Well, one of the categories is animation. Of course, I would watch those. But the other categories are international, documentary, and short films.
Okay.
These are, movies that you'd probably miss. And for me, they're windows into other worlds. So we're going to give you the spoiler-free tips on what's been nominated, where to find it. And, anything that sparks your interest, you can have a horse in the race when it comes to Oscar Day.
Okay, sounds good. And we've got some more outside interviews as well. You've reached out to some of the folks that you're friends with in the Death Racer community and other professional and personal contacts. So we're going to get some wider perspective on those.
Absolutely, yeah.
Great. And part three, the blockbusters, a.k.a. the technical awards. Those are blockbusters?
So the technical awards are, they're also called the below the line awards. And they're the ones that are dominated.
That's when they push those off on the other night. Right, there's a whole other award ceremony for those.
They would if they were to jettison any awards, it would be these. But these are the biggest. The headliners of the technical awards.
Got it. Okay.
But I mean, calling them the technical awards may not make it sound that appealing to a lot of people. But these are basically, first of all, it's going to be all of the Best Picture nominees and the biggest movies that most of you have probably watched this year. Napoleon and The Creator, movies we've covered even. And these are the awards that are actually rewarding people for making movies look and sound the way they look and sound. So these are the people who make movies good. Yeah. So we've got cinematography, visual effects, production design, editing, sound and music. We're going to, I know Jean's going to talk, be joining us to talk to a bunch of. And then we're going to have some other members from the community and beyond with some insight into the different categories. Jedi Bob is prepping to talk to us about sound. Yeah.
Great. Yeah, that'll be nice. And again, we're still pulling together all of those people and getting those files sorted out and that kind of stuff. So we don't want to say too much because we got to get things sort of lined up a little bit.
Right.
Okay. So I was just looking at the Oscars Death Race website and trying to think about the things that I have seen. I just saw American Fiction, loved it, so good. I've seen Barbie, I've seen half of Killers of the Flower Moon, I've seen Maestro, I really want to watch Oppenheimer, and I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to fit in Past Lives, Poor Things, The Holdovers, or Zone of Interest. So, but I'm here. Who is it? Somebody was just on the Discord saying that they saw Zone of Interest and was that Adrian, I think?
Yeah, there's Adrian. Yeah.
Yeah. Who, and saying how powerful it was and how incredible it is.
It is very powerful. And actually it's coming out on video on demand on the 20th.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's good.
Yeah. And Poor Things is coming out on video on demand on the 27th. So those are the last two big ones that were a little bit more difficult to watch. And now they're going to be a little easier to watch at home. And I just have to always plug Past Lives is only nominated for two Oscars. But it is the emotional favorite of a lot of people, including myself. So if you want to know why everyone's gushing about this film. It's hard to describe, but you just have to see it.
I think I'm going to have to sign up on the Death Race website here because it looks like it has some really cool ways to track your movies and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, exactly. So
it would be kind of fun. I wouldn't mind maybe for myself, like as a personal goal. I don't know that I'll be able to do it before the Oscars, but within this calendar year to see at least the 10 Best Picture nominations, that would be kind of a fun goal. I'm not traditionally a big Oscars tracker. I mean, I think they're interesting and I've always had an awareness and sort of paid a little bit of attention to them. But it was until you pitched this idea for these podcasts that I started to get a little bit more engaged in interest, have my interest build in the process a little bit. And it's kind of like the Super Bowl for entertainment for movies, right? It's a mm-hmm, big deal.
Absolutely. So. We call it our Super Bowl for sure. Right. And you compared it to fantasy sports at one point, which I see what you mean. But there actually is, if people want to take it to that level, there's also, you're a little late for this season, but there's something called red carpet rosters where you actually do.
Oh, wow.
You draft your own team and follow stuff. Them through the award season. Yeah.
That's very cool. Awesome. What about you? I think you're a bigger film buff than I am. I love film, but I've never been a buff, right? I've never been, as into it as, and I, same with television. I've always loved television. I've watched a lot of television through my life. Gen Xer, latchkey kid.
I think that makes you a buff, right?
So. Yeah, well, but it wasn't until I started podcasting. Mm-hmm. I think I've always had the desire, but then podcasting has really helped me sharpen my my thoughts and my critiques and my engagement in shows. And so I just haven't had the same for films. But of course, we used to go to the movies. We would see a dozen movies in a year easily.
Oh,
because, that's where you went to see really interesting stuff. Television was just pablum, right? It was just sort of the oatmeal of the cultural conversation, but it was the movies that really sparked your interest and took your imagination away. So what's your hook for Oscars? What drives Alicia for the Oscars stuff?
I guess it comes from childhood. Like, I used to watch the Oscars with my family, and it's got, even now, no,
kind of a monocultural event thing.
Yeah, kind exactly. Of a big thing. And that it is less so that, although I feel like this year, it feels like they have nominated more widely seen movies.
Okay.
And I'm seeing a broader interest in the Oscars again. So I hope that, because I do think it doesn't need to just be for people who have watched hundreds of movies in a year.
And like, a lot of these movies they're approachable in some ways. American Fiction was so easy to watch and be a participant. When we went, we kind of did a double date with some friends of ours. We left our kids alone to take care of themselves. And we went out for, an adult meal and then we went and saw a movie. It was really great. But the theater was there was like a lot of people at our little local movie theater, and theater was full enough that we actually had to like strategize where we were going to sit. It wasn't packed because it's a huge space, but it felt really good. And it feels like there's a lot of conversation about Oscars right now, like you were saying.
No, exactly. And I think they've made maybe a more concerted effort. It also helps that two of, like, I was talking to you before, there's the big four films that I would recommend that if you want to be up on the Oscars with the least amount of work, the four films you should target are Oppenheimer, Poor Things, Killers of the Flower Moon, and Barbie. And I'm throwing in Past Lives, just because I'm always throwing in Past Lives. But these are the ones nominated for the most. And, obviously we have the whole Barbenheimer phenomenon this year. We know that a lot of people have seen, especially those two movies, Killers of the Flower Moon is also a Scorsese movie. A lot of people have seen that. It's just available on Apple.
And Maestro, that got a big thing. I know for my in-laws, for them, it was a very moving thing because the subject matter is their, part of their life. That was an integral part of their growing up. And, and I'm just thinking too about this. We've watched a lot of television, through the pandemic and up to now, and they're talking about, peak TV. Like, I think the number of scripted shows that are coming out this year is actually markedly down a little bit from past things. So, the whole streaming thing is working itself out. But then, seeing Barbie, seeing American Fiction, seeing Maestro, it reminded me of what movies are. They're a different thing. They're this complete story that's packed into an hour and a half to 3 hours. Let's bring the time down, the runtime down.
Right.
the whole beginning, middle, and end, and it just it's compelling, and it's visually can be a visual feast, and it's just in this really nice packaged thing. And so I think I'm starting to fall back in love with movies a little bit.
Well, I think also one of the movies for me, so my two movies of the year are, I've said Past Lives enough. That's sure. Like, tells me what film is from the way that you can subtly represent the ineffable beauty in life and love, you know, this sort of intangible thing that you can only represent by showing the story of someone's life play out.
Got it.
But then on the other hand, my other favorite film of the year is Poor Things. And that for me is just the encompassing everything that a movie can be, you know, just wild fantasy, but also juggling with complex ideas about what does it mean to be an independent person and our need to control others and how do we develop ourselves, nature versus nurture, but, you know, in this technicolored fantasy.
Yeah, I'm going to have to see that now because it got kind of mixed. It got mixed things, but visually well, it's supposed to be beautiful too, right?
I think that there's one thing that, and so Yorgos Lanthimos, he's... Already, he's just one of my favorite directors. He's also the one who did The Lobster, The Favorite, Dogtooth, The Killing of a Sacred Deer. And he's can be a tough swallow for especially, some American audiences, because there's a lot of sex in Poor Things. There's a lot of sex in Poor Things. And also there's, you know, it brings up questionable morals because that's the point.
Right.
So it's based on a book, and it actually got me to go back and pick up and at least like thumb through the book. And there's a website also that you can explore the book. And it's, you know, he's taking the source material and combining it with ideas that he's examined in past movies. And it's very, it asks a lot of complex moral questions, and not everyone's comfortable with that. And I get it.
Sure. Right. Yeah. If for some folks, the movies are entertainment and escapism as opposed to challenge and...
Yeah, but it also has Mark Ruffalo being very silly in a funny way.
Very cool. Great. Well, this has been a fun conversation. I guess this is kind of what you could look forward to when we get into the actual podcasts and talking about the actual movies. Our plans are to get the first one out sometime the week of the 18th, and then for the next two to drop within the next 2 weeks before the Oscars on the 10th, so that you're fully briefed before the big show happens. So be sure to check out our main feed. So if you're listening to this on one of our specialty feeds like Wheel of Time or Star Wars, make sure you subscribe to the main Lorehounds feed to get all of the podcasts. Stay tuned to our Discord. And if you have any general feedback, anything that you want to write in and give us some thoughts about, drop us an email, lorehounds@thelorehounds.com, or visit us on our website and you can leave a voicemail of your own or send in a message using the contact form. Alicia, any other thoughts before we bounce out of here?
No, just in case you can't tell, I'm so excited to talk about these movies.
You're beaming. You're beaming across the interwebs. Awesome. Well, thanks for putting this together. Thanks for pitching the idea. It's a very cool project, and I look forward to doing it in coming years. So thanks for everything.
Yeah, looking forward.
A new Star Wars journey begins in the place all good journeys begin. At, well, the beginning. This Star Wars Day, I'm excited to introduce the new Star Wars Canon Timeline podcast, where we will piece together the complete story of that galaxy far, far away, in timeline order, from the dawn of the Jedi through the great unknown following the sequel trilogy. This is a podcast for both Star Wars superfans and complete newbies. Listen to the short intro episode now to hear how it works and what to expect over the coming weeks as we set the stage for the new television series, The Acolyte, which we will be covering with weekly breakdowns. Subscribe to the Star Wars Canon Timeline podcast wherever you listen to take part in one of the most epic and expansive stories ever told, following all the twists and turns from start to finish. May the Fourth be with you all month and beyond.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.